Hansen from Truth Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be with you today. We're going to get right into our study in the book of Lamentations. We're going to finish this book up and go on. These two books by Jeremiah, very, very powerful books, and hope you learn something from them. I don't just want to waste my time with it because, everybody wants to learn something, and I hope this is a learning experience instead of just a something that to take up the time in the radio station, because it's something that I enjoy learning about Jeremiah, because he's one of my favorite prophets. He's a very powerful prophet, major prophet, and I think we're learning something from him. Let's get right into our study now in the third chapter of Jeremiah. I am the man who has seen affliction because of the rod of his wrath. He has driven me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely against me he has turned his hand repeatedly all the day. He has caused my flesh and my skin to waste away. He has broken my bones. You know, this is something that, as I mentioned before, these prophets of God speak as though they are the guilty ones. And this is the way that Jeremiah and Daniel both spoke, because they spoke as if that they were the guilty ones. And they took on an intercession that we cannot understand. Why? Because they were interceding prophets, and this made them different from the normal behavior of anyone, because you can't explain it. And God seeks for a man to stand in the gap, to build up the hedge, and his prophets are those intercessors. And if we do not understand intercession, we'll never understand the prophets. They were intercessors for the people. They took on the blame for these people, and as if they committed the act themselves. And we may not understand that completely, but it is the truth. And I hope you understand some of it anyway. It's something that is very, very interesting, in my opinion, because it's when we cannot understand what intercession is, we look at Jeremiah, we look at Daniel, we look at these people, and they certainly took on the burden of this people. Now, let's read on. He has caused my flesh, my skin to waste away, has broken my bones. And in Jeremiah's darkest moment, hope was strengthened with his assurance, with this assurance of God. God's been faithful, and he would continue to be faithful. Jeremiah saw both God's judgment and his steadfast love. In the time of judgment, Jeremiah could still cling to God's love, just as in times of prosperity. He warned of God's judgment. In the original Hebrew, the first four chapters in Lamentations are acrostic poems, actually. Each verse in each chapter begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Chapter 3 has 66 verses rather than 22, because it is a triple acrostic. The first three verses begin with the equivalent of A. The next three with B, and so on. This was the typical form of Hebrew poetry. In other examples of acrostic acrostics are Psalms 37, 119, and 145, and in Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31. So just to give you a little bit of background on that, it's very interesting. He has besieged and encompassed me with bitterness and hardship. In dark places, he has made me dwell like those who have long been dead. He has walled me he's walled me in so I cannot go out. He's made my chain heavy. Even when I cry out and call for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stone. He's made my paths crooked. He is to me like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in secret places. He has turned aside my ways and torn me to pieces. He has made me desolate. He bent his bow and set me as a target for the arrow. He made the arrows of his quiver to enter into my inward parts. I have become the laughingstock to all of my people. They laughed at Jeremiah. They tried to kill him. You know, they made fun of him. They did virtually everything they could to this poor guy. Locked him up. He was not treated like one of the modern day preachers of the day, given so much money, then sent on their way in a stretch limousine, staying in a five-star hotel, and all of this good stuff, taking their private jet, which they don't need. This was not the prophet, the true prophets. True prophets are the ones in the Bible, not the ones you see today. Not the YouTube prophets, not the thing, that you get fooled by. You get fooled by them over and over and over again. And you've got to watch yourself because you can get fooled very quickly. And this is something that we don't want to get fooled again and again, over and over. And these things are something that we should never get fooled by. I become the laughingstock to all my people. They're mocking song all the day. He has filled me with such bitterness. He has made me drunk with wormwood. He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has made me cower in the dust. Now, does this sound like a modern-day prophet? No, it doesn't. Even the Apostle Paul suffered the same thing. He was under house arrest for years. Finally, his head was chopped off. You think this was a good treatment? No, it was something that he suffered. And we've got to realize that the prophets of yesteryear are so much different than the prophets that we are used to, because they were certainly different, weren't they? You know, let's take a look at John the Baptist. John the Baptist was another prophet of God, the greatest. Jesus referred to John the Baptist as the greatest prophet that ever lived. If you want to know who the greatest was, John the Baptist was referred to by God himself, Jesus Christ, that he was the greatest that ever lived. And the spirit of John the Baptist will be quite possibly relived again in this day and age. The spirit of John the Baptist, because no one could be like John the Baptist. Nobody could imitate him. So if he's the greatest, no one's going to be better. So
He has made me to cower in the dust.
My soul has been rejected from peace. I have forgotten happiness.
So I say my strength has perished, and so has my hope from the Lord. My hope has perished. Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease.
Yet through all he went through, the Lord's loving kindness never ceased. It never did. It never left Jeremiah's mind, the loving kindness of the Lord. His grace is always sufficient for us. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassion never fail.
They are new every morning.
His compassions are new every morning. Claim that every day. You know, this might be something that you may want to do. Claim the compassions of God every day, new every morning. This is a promise. This is a promise. Claim his compassions every day, because you might need them. You might need them. So claim these compassions every morning. They're new every morning. And you're going to need it. I guarantee it. We're all going to need this new compassion of God. We're all going to need it. And it's good for us to realize this.
His compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good that he waits silently. Wait silently.
Don't gripe. You know, griping is one of the worst things you can do. Griping at God, griping at anybody. I mean, it's good that you get it off your chest, but don't make a habit of it, because it might be something that might come back to haunt you. You know, you don't want to say anything because things might get worse. So be careful of griping at God, because it might not be the best thing that you can do. You might want to just keep it to yourself and die to it, because it might be something that might come back to haunt you.
So be careful. It is good that we wait in silence for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he should bear the yoke of his youth. Let him sit alone and be silent, since he has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. Perhaps there is hope. Perhaps there is hope. Jeremiah saw one ray of hope in the sin and sorrow surrounding him. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease. His compassions never fail. God and his willing response with help when we ask. Perhaps there is some sin in your life that you thought God would never forgive, but God's love and his mercy and his blood can cover it if you let him. He can do it. And Jeremiah knew from personal experience about God's faithfulness. God had promised that punishment would follow disobedience, and it did. But when God had promised future restoration and blessing, and Jeremiah knew that God would keep that promise, and also trusting in God, his faithfulness, day by day, makes us confident and in his great promises for the future. To bear the yoke means to be willing to come under God's discipline, actually, to bear the yoke when he said, and learn what it is, and what he wants to teach. This involves several important factors: silent reflection on what God wants, and repentance and humility, self-control in the face of adversity, confidence, patience, waiting on his divine teaching to bring about love, the lessons of our lives. God has several long-term and short-term lessons for each and every one of us. And this is what we need to realize. Well, I'm going to stop there. We're out of time. Go to our website, krciradio.com, and we'll take up this 29th verse tomorrow. God, teach us to be humble. Teach us to be have humility. Help us to be silent and not gripe, but to allow your faith to come alive in us and allow us to be born again anew in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And write to us, KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Till tomorrow's broadcast, Brother Hansen saying, study, show yourself approved.